Our scripture reading for today is from Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Are you ready? Are you ready for something coming soon? Are you ready to hear the gospel, the word of God in our midst? We need to pay attention, so maybe we should stand up, get the blood flowing a little bit, and listen as we are in the midst of hearing Luke 21, 25 and following. Jesus said to them, he said, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The word of the Lord. I invite you to be seated. How many of you were out on Black Friday at midnight? It isn't quite as much. Do you remember when it was just a wild and crazy sort of time, and the newscasters were out, and everybody and their neighbor was out at midnight because they were running out to do the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday shopping? Do you remember that? It hasn't been quite as much lately, has it? And that's all right with me. That's all right with a lot of people that would prefer to sleep in just a little bit and prefer not to have to be up in the middle of the night driving around, especially in the wintertime, and snow and all of those different things going on. Now, some would say, oh, it was just crass commercialism. It was just greed and rushing about to get the best deals and be the first ones there. And yet there is some other side to see to that. We need to be good stewards of what we've been given. We need to be good stewards of the finances we've been given. And if we are gifting others, well, we need to be able to do what we can with what we've been given to be able to gift others. So that's admirable. You remember the parable, don't you? The parable of the master with his servants, and he gave them each talents. To one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2. And to another he gave 1 talent. And he told them, I will be gone, and I will return. And when he was gone, the one with 5 talents took the 5 talents, took it out into the world, began to work with it, use it, and he multiplied it so that he not only had 5 talents, but he had 5 more talents. And when the master came back, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have used the talents I have given you and have prospered them. So he turned to the man who he had given 2 talents to. And that man had taken them out and he'd invest them. And he'd used them to do good works. And with those good works, they had multiplied and grown. And so not only did he have 2 talents, but he had another 2. So they had also grown and multiplied. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. But the servant who had been given 1 talent, he knew his master demanded much of him. And he was worried about being able to be a good steward of what he'd been given. So he took his 1 talent and he buried it in the ground where it was far from sight, couldn't be harmed or stolen. And so when the master returned, he dug it up and he gave it to the master and said, here's the talents you gave me. I've kept it safe and hidden away. The master was not happy. The master turned to him and said, you will have nothing. We'll take this away from you, because I gave you a gift of talents and gifts to be good stewards of what I've been giving you. And what did you do? You did nothing with it. It's quite an important parable to us, isn't it?
It's quite a calling to us. It's quite an indictment of us and the gifts that we've been given. And we have been given them to use wisely. So Black Friday, the Christmas rush, and the commercialization and the merchants that are trying to cash in on all of these shoppers, it is commercialism, and some of that needs to be named. But to try and be good stewards of what we've been given and multiply what we've been given in giving gifts with what we've been given, that may not be so bad after all. If we remember with what we've been given and how we use it to keep it holy, that's up to us. The merchants can sell us anything they want. They can run all of the advertisements they want. They can do whatever they want, but it is we who must hold holiness within ourselves. And we can do that. Now, I have to ask you, if we think about gift giving, merchants have known this for some time. There are some companies who make their entire year's profit just over the Christmas season. There are some companies that only open their stores during Christmas. They are storefront shops that open for the Christmas season and then close for the rest of the year. Because during the Christmas season, for some reason, people open their wallets, their purses, their checking accounts, and they are generous and they buy and spend on gifts for one another. Why do we do this? Is it just tradition? Is it just that we think, well, last year I gave Mark a dollar, so this year I better give him another dollar? I have a friend, he and his brother, since they were very young, at birthdays, their mother instructed them, make sure you buy a gift for your brother. So the older brother got an envelope, and he put a $20 bill in the envelope, and he gave it to his brother on his birthday, and his brother said, thank you. And on his, when the birthdays had reversed, his brother gave it the same $20 back to him. It has been going on that way for years. What a fun celebration. It has nothing to do with the money. It has to do with a tradition and a family and a care. Is it about guilt that we give gifts? Oh no, I know that Mark's going to give me $2. I better give him $3. And then Mark is thinking, well, he'll give me $3, so I better give him $4. And there we are. Before we know it, Mark, we're both in debt up to our eyeballs. Is it guilt that causes us to gift? I don't think so. I hope not. You see, at its purest, deep within, I hope and believe that gift giving is about an appreciation one for another. It's about a way of saying thank you to those that we appreciate. A way of saying, you are special to me and I am made greater by your company and your presence in my life. Thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. For some, it's more of a traditional thank you, business relationship sort of thing, but still a gracious and at its purest, a deeply felt gift. And gift giving is a good thing. I hope it is also a deep, deep appreciation of the gifts that God has given to us. We need to pause and think about that. What gifts have we been given by God? We just talked about talents a moment ago. We've been given different talents. Some of these Tongans know how to sing. Nalu directs them. I couldn't direct the Tongan choir if it, my life depended on it, Nalu. We'd probably end up in a train wreck. The Tongans would all be laughing at me nonetheless. And that's all right. That is his gift and grace. I can wire an outlet. I know some other people that would try and end up with electrical shock and lots of curly hair. It's a gift that God has inspired and given to me. Those are some of those things that happen. And so we have our gifts and graces. And we thank God for the gifts we've received. So now tradition says that we should gift God back. Do you have anybody in your life that's really hard to buy a gift for? That person you know that just has everything. And you think, what can I give this person that they don't already have? I mean, they've got everything. You have some people in your lives like that? So what are you going to do for God? What kind of a gift are you going to give to God? What does God not have that we can possibly give God? And yet there is something. There is something that comes as our gift giving, and God knows what it is. Giving ourselves and our dedication and our projections of our hearts to love God and to love our kin. That was what Jesus said. What is the most important rule, law, thing that God is about? Remember, the man came to Jesus and said, Master, I've been studying all the rules and all the laws in the Old Testament. And there are many, 500 some odd different commandments that are a part of the laws of the Old Testament. And we know the Decalogue. It's called the Ten Commandments. And we know those laws. And this man said, of all of those, which one's the most important one? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, energy, pocketbook, time, and love your kin as yourself. We had a sermon. Some of you, the weather has been against us in church. Every week it's been beautiful, and then come Saturday night into Sunday, it's been snowy, cold, slippery. And I understand not coming out and taking a chance on being injured. In fact, I encourage that consideration. But I was so pleased to see the sun out this morning. I said, amen, God, thank you. I'd like to see some of those people that have been forced to remain inside. So here we are, and this gathering of... But you might have missed the sermon then that we did, and it was called The Kingdom. You've heard of God's kingdom. That's what we're all about. We're moving on to perfection and God's kingdom, that place where God is all life around God and centered, and we become one in Christ. But it was proposed that we need to rename it the Kindom, K-I-N-dom, because it's about our kin, our brothers and sisters. Now, I don't know about you. I have brothers and sisters both. And some of them I love dearly and want to spend more time with. And others, I would just assume we didn't spend as much time as we did. Nothing personal. We just are on different tracks, different places in life. We can't always pick our families, per se, but our kin is our kin. And our kin includes all of those that sometimes are hard to be with. Hard to connect with, hard to be around. And God is pointing out that kin may be those ones that are difficult or even fearsome. That's another one of the parables we've learned. The Good Samaritan. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You remember Samaritans? They're those awful, horrible, nasty people that nobody should be around. You shouldn't talk to Samaritans. You shouldn't have dealings with Samaritans. You shouldn't go where Samaritans go. They were not good people. They were persona non grata. And here it is, when they asked who has been holy, it is this Samaritan man who helps the man who's been beaten and left unconscious and naked in a ditch. It's the Samaritan who does the will of God. And the Samaritan is named as being part of our kin. Oh my goodness, I can imagine when that parable was first told, I can imagine people just throwing up their arms and saying, I'm quitting the church. I dislike those Samaritans so much, I would rather quit the church than have to think that I might have to accept those awful, nasty, no good Samaritans. And now the parable is called the Good Samaritan. We have changed to and how we are about. We have expanded our concept of who is kin, even to those untouchable, unwantable, unlovable. Who are they today? Give thought to that. Who is it in your life and in our society around us that society loves to hate, that society loves to reject, that become the bad guys? There was a time in our past when it was the Broncos and the Raiders, remember? The Raiders were the team that all good Broncos fans just wanted to rail against, our arch rivals. I don't know if that's still true or not, but that's a mild version of how we find and define the other. There are others that are more serious and harder to be a part of. But here's the kingdom. The kingdom says that even those loving, even raiders, loving one another is all of those kins and all that we're about. So this first Sunday of Advent, we celebrate gifts. We celebrate gifts, the gifts that we've received, the gifts of family and friends. Think about that a moment. Think about the people in your lives, the people that are important to you, that have done things that you want to say, thank you, I appreciate you. Think about the gift of having them, the gift of our church here gathered. It's a pretty neat church. Pretty awesome gift that we have received from the saints who have gone before us. Pretty awesome gift of which we are stewards and we will care. The gift of our kin, our siblings, our families, the families that we were born with, the families that we've adopted, the families that are a part of our lives. And a time to think of the gift that the Lord has given us. The Lord has given us all that we have, all that we are, all that we can be, all of our talents, all of our gifts and graces. If you can sing, that's a gift and grace. If you can be an artist, that's a gift and grace. If you are able and capable in any way, think of that. Not all people are that. You are special and gifted. Think of the gift of our nation. People struggling and risking to come to this nation, this great and awesome and loving and nurturing nation. Let's continue to be that nation. Think of our families. Think of the families around us and those that we can reach out to. Think of our prosperity. We are a prosperous people. Sometimes I look at my checking account and I said, I don't feel very prosperous. We are more prosperous than we can imagine. Think of those so much less prosperous. And think of our health. Sometimes that is also one of those struggles when I'm going to the doctor. But nonetheless, we have health and we have health care and we have health providers. Think of the other gift, the gift of our redemption in Jesus Christ. Think of what the Lord has given to us when he gave us the Son that came and lived among us, grew among us, a baby born in our midst, a Messiah that grew and taught and led, was crucified and died and rose again and gave us the gift of resurrection. The foretold Messiah, the King of Kings. That's what we're talking about when Luke said, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is growing near. Amen.